Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study. Welcome to the program today. All this week we're in a study which was taught live at Calvary Chapel, La Mirada. This study was part of a verse-by-verse teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Today we'll learn that God is truly desirous to bless our lives, but that it comes as we are poor in spirit. This is how one enters the kingdom of heaven and how one should stay as they are members of this kingdom. We begin in the spirit and we must continue in the spirit.
That's where God's kingdom starts, is by coming humbly to Him. You have nothing in your hands. You have no good works to offer Him, no good intentions, but you come empty-handed and you receive the kingdom of God. It's called humility. See, what the Pharisee said is you could do it. Do all these religious activities. That's what some churches want to tell you. Just obey all of our commands. Come to God with your commands that you've obeyed, plus the grace that He has to offer. That's not the Lord's kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is you come empty-handed. And you know what? As you do that, you'll experience, first of all, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, and you'll experience this blessedness, this acceptance by God, well-being in life, and that deep sense of satisfaction. The Lord wants that for His people. I believe He wants it for the fullness. As I read in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, before sin entered the world, it says He brought man and woman together, and the first thing it says that He did, it says He blessed them. I believe God desires your life to be filled with satisfaction, filled with joy, filled with contentment. But it's not by taking Jesus and say, do this for me, Lord. It's by fitting into His kingdom. And His kingdom is open to those that are poor in spirit, that come to Him empty, not with any religious good deeds or good works. Now, that doesn't mean that's where we're poor in spirit once we receive the gift of eternal life. I believe it's a continual thing. We need to continue to be poor in spirits, not trusting in our own goodness and our own good works or abilities to earn God's favor or to keep God's favor, but we have no confidence in our outward abilities or religious deeds. We continue to meet God with grace as a beggar. We're in need of forgiveness. We're in need of strength. We're in need of mercy. We keep coming to Him, and He is the one that keeps supplying our needs. Now, I want to look at one passage, and that's where we'll finish our study for this morning. That describes this in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now that passage, when I first got saved, kind of troubled me. That meant I needed to just keep going around rejoicing. I didn't know what I was rejoicing about, but I just rejoiced. That's what I was told. No passage in the Bible means anything apart from the context. You can't just yank out a passage, rejoice in the Lord, always do that. Well, what does that mean? Well, it has to have the context. And I was told, I heard studies, that you just rejoice in the Lord no matter what happens. You break your arm, say, oh, praise the Lord, I broke my arm. That sounds silly. Of course it's silly. I got a car accident. Praise the Lord. That's not what Jesus is talking about, or Paul is talking about at all. Let's put it in the context. It says, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Now, how would that fit with rejoicing always? Again, you have to do a little study, a little labor to understand the context. It's not talking to mailmen saying, watch out for dogs. Look what he says, beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Now, what in the world is he talking about? Well, Paul planted the church in Philippi. He leaves. False teachers come in and say, Paul didn't give you the entire message. Actually, what you need to do is you need to worship on these certain days. You need to be circumcised. And Paul didn't give you all the laws that you need to follow. So, yeah, you have faith in Christ. That's good. But it's not sufficient. You need faith plus these other additional works that Paul didn't tell you about. So Paul writes back and says, you need to rejoice in the Lord. You need to watch out for the false teachers. And in verse 3 tells us what it is to rejoice in the Lord. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So the rejoicing in Christ Jesus that we're to continue to do is because he has come, he has paid the price for my sin, he has lived up to the law, which I could not live up to, and he is the one that's given his righteousness to my life. I rejoice in the completed work of Jesus Christ and put no confidence in my flesh, in my religious deeds to earn God's favor or to keep his favor upon my life. The only way you could do that is if you're poor in spirit. If you realize I started out with nothing to offer God, and I still have nothing to offer God. And I come to him rejoicing in his completed work. I watch out for this false teaching that wants to get me into my own religious works and responsibility there, emphasizing that's how you gain God's favor. What that does, it strips the blessedness that Jesus Christ wants to bring. Because what happens? None of us are perfect. None of us are even close. We fail even our own standards. And what happens? And condemnation comes in. Or, if you do live up to the standards that are set by a church or a group, you become prideful. I could do it. Why don't you guys do it? And you start looking down upon people. And pride comes in the heart. We put no confidence in the flesh. We rejoice in Jesus Christ. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He says, apart from me, you could do nothing. And that's the mentality that we bring to our walk with the Lord, so that when things happen, we realize it's God's blessing, his favor upon my life. God doesn't, you know, as I wake up tomorrow, God doesn't accept me because, you know, I'm a good person, better than yesterday. He accepts me because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. And I rejoice in that continually. And Paul says, I want to remind you to continue to rejoice in the Lord. It's safe on your behalf. You know, I think that's what communion will be about tonight, as it always is. We're going to go back to rejoicing in what Christ accomplished on the cross. It's a reminder. And the Lord's given us these elements to remind us, to help us reinforce that truth, that I am right with God, I'm blessed by God, because what Jesus did is I take that bread and take the juice, reminds me, it brings me back to the cross. I'm rejoicing in the work of Christ, once again, putting no confidence in my own flesh. So if you want to experience the fullness of this blessedness that God has for you, it starts out by entering the kingdom of God, poor in spirit. I don't earn my salvation. I don't earn your kingdom. It's not I do my part and Jesus does his part. It's Jesus did it all. I put my confidence and trust in his completed work, none in mine. And you remain in that same sort of attitude, that the reason I'm right with God today is because of God's grace. Because what Jesus did on the cross, the way I entered, that's where I need to stay. If you don't do that, you're going to have this heavy weight of guilt and legalism. It's going to crush you. There's going to be no joy in your life and walk with Jesus Christ. And you're going to wonder, what's all this blessedness that people speak about in their walk with Jesus Christ? Because it's a weight. That's what Jesus said to a bunch of religious people, because what the Pharisees were doing. He says, come unto me, all that you are heavy laden and burdened. He says, I'll give you rest. And rest comes to those that are poor in spirit, realizing I offer God to nothing, and I continue to offer him nothing. I continue to put no confidence in the flesh. You live your walk with Jesus Christ in that way, you'll experience a depth of joy in your walk with the Lord that you will not experience by trying to be outwardly zealous, outwardly dedicated to all these rules and regulations and laws. Just a weight. You'll be heavy laden. You want to experience the rest that the Lord has for you. So you want the kingdom of heaven, you want all that God has to offer, you come to him on his terms. You don't add Jesus Christ to your life and say, I want Jesus to be a part of my life to help, you know, help me accomplish this. You take him on his terms. And his terms are this: if you want to receive the gift of eternal life and receive this blessedness, this favor of God upon your life now, you have to humble yourself and say, I'm not good enough to save myself. I'm not good enough to enter the kingdom of God. I will be rejected by God because of my sin. And Lord, I come to you as a beggar. I'm in need of forgiveness. You have it to offer to me freely because of what Christ did on the cross. And I ask of you. He says, those that ask in that manner will receive forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, his blessedness now as well as heaven, when we pass away and go be with the Lord. But it starts on the Lord's term. You need to receive Jesus as who he is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He does desire to bless your life. But it comes first of all by being poor.